Don't feel awkward. Don't feel out of place. Somebody in this room is waiting for you to ask your question. If we've got a question, somebody else has got it. We'll help each other by sharing where we're at. Some haven't gotten to where some have been or are at today. So if there's anything on your mind, I'd like to just open the floor to share, to make a comment, something you'd like Brother Dylan to comment on, something, specific question about what's happening in your ministry, in your place, in your work today. Anything. Brother Jasinski.
Brother Dylan, you know, when I look out over my congregation, the people that God has brought to us, I see the potential.
Yeah.
Could you talk about enabling and how you go about enabling? When you look out and you see potential in individuals, how do you enable them?
To each individual is a different story. I mean, it's. I have had people come to me that, because we are a church and we have benevolent fun, you know, I've been there long enough to read what they're there for. If I sense that these people are truly there for spiritual guidance and help, then we have a counseling. We have a counselor. That matter of fact, Sister Carol Clemens was the counselor for Christian Life College. She's a counselor for Brother Haney when he was superintendent. She resides in Madison. And we sort of do an evaluation to see where they are spiritually in their walk with God. Many people come addicted to prescription drugs, you know, and they're looking for money. Now, we give 100,000 pounds of food away a year. Now, probably that's on the low side. When we built the new church, I put a 21-foot-long walk-in cooler. We have a 1,000-square-foot food bank. That I'm gonna tell you a little story about. We have their Kroger grocery store. You probably don't have that here. Kroger was a huge grocery chain, and they're all over the country, and in the Midwest it's called Dillon's. But okay, they were built a new store in Madison, so they were gonna dedicate it. So I had to go to the hospital for surgeries that morning, and basically I have assistant pastor that goes, because if you don't assign somebody as you get older and the church gets bigger, then you'll find yourself living at a hospital. So I've taught my people that if you see me, you're just about dead, okay? So now, unless they're older saints, they don't want the assistant pastor. They want the bishop there. So I was there with one of the bishop situations, okay? So I had a suit on. I stopped back by the dedication. When I walked in, about 20 people with Kroger emblems on, big, nice, dark suits and red ties. They were just... Their executives were everywhere. When I walked in, said, Dylan's my name. Kept walking. I looked and 15 of them just converged on me. I'm talking about converged. And one said, would you like some coffee? I said, I believe I will. What about breakfast? I said, I don't thank you. No breakfast. There's a grape on the floor. And I pointed. Two of them dove for the grape. I'm going, my God, this is the friendliest place I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything like, I mean, every step I took, there were 15 people just standing there. They brought my coffee. Said, is it okay? Is it okay, sir? I said, oh, yes, it's great. Thank you so much. And they said, well, now this over here is here. I said, where's the manager? I said, he's coming. We've called him. He's on his way. I said, my God, I just asked where the manager was. Like, they went into a panic attack. And so after about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, me walking around, I said, yes, I pastor Parkway Church. They said, you do what? I said, I pastor Parkway Church. Whoosh, they scattered. I'm going, did I cuss? I went from a penthouse to the outhouse. I'm going, well, what did I say? Did I offend him? A few minutes, here come the manager. He's still combing his hair. He'd been up all night getting the store ready. He was in the shower when they called. He said, brother, you have shook this store from the center to the circumference. The CEO of Kroger International's name is Dylan. And like Sam Walton from Walmart, he shows up at openings without announcing that he's going to be there. And they thought I was a CEO of Kroger International. So I used that opportunity to say, you know what? We have a food bank ministry. Wouldn't it be great for Kroger to benefit and give to the community that gives to Kroger, that you bless the people that bless you? He said, we've got a corporate meeting. Do you have a contact number? I gave my administrative director's number, Brother Cooper. Brother Cooper calls me and says, my God, man, you're not going to believe this. We're getting all the meats and breads from Super Kroger given to us. I had to hire one woman and buy a van just to run Kroger routes. Bringing in T-bones, ribeyes, hams and turkeys. And so when I built the new church, I put a 21-foot walk-in cooler. So we give all the widows and all the single parents a food bag the first of the month. Did not the Bible say take care of the widows and orphans? Is it in your Bible? I thought it was. So we bless them. And we buy through the Mississippi Food Network, 22 cents a pound, canned goods, all types of stuff that we put in these bags. And I have several families that's over that. We have to fill out registration forms and all this stuff. But the point is that we learn who needs food. We do not give money. No money. If we do make a check, it will be to the utility company or some other entity, but not to the individual. Because I did give one family, had four little kids. They were looking little eyes. The guy said, we're hungry. Could you give us some money? This was the old church. Man, I gave him what, 40 bucks, whatever it was. I was tore up. Now, a kid kills me. I mean, look, that little boy, if he's in the Walmart, say, I want that toy truck. I get it. My grandboy's got me. I mean, I'm it's over for me. My wife said, don't buy him another thing. I said, I can't help it. my boys was going to discipline my grand. What are you doing? We're going to whip him. I said, you can't do that. Well, you killed us. I said, but he's different. my whole deal is that we try to evaluate what their needs are. We just don't help everything that walks, because you can't imagine on a daily basis. I have three secretaries we're working on apostolic conference right now, trying to get hotels and travel agents setting up, getting everything ready. We can't wait till the last. We work from the time August 16th, 17th, 18th of this coming year. I think it's in the first part of May, registration will open. And my advice is to look on the website, parkwaychurch.net, amen, and find out when that registration is. We have a link there. And so April 1st, okay, find out, because if you miss it, if you wait 24 hours, boom, she's filled. Then we call headquarters. They start perusing. We start working, Brother Tony, amen, to arrange who, what, when, where, why. That's the way we have to operate. But the thing is that we learn where they are spiritually before we step out. But what I'm saying is, I use that illustration on what's in a name. Hey, that name opened up all of that. I know a name of Jesus can open up a lot more than Kroger, amen, groceries, hallelujah. So God orchestrates, is what I'm saying, to help us facilitate where we are and what we're doing, okay? So, amen. So you just have to learn. You'll have people come in that are takers and not givers. You got to learn. And here's one thing you can write down. When they start giving, they're coming. When they quit giving, they're going. Just believe that. Just believe that, okay? If they start giving, whoo, there's something fixing to happen then. Because where your treasure is where your heart is. Is that right? So if they start giving, they're coming. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God.
I don't know if you said it being a decoy when you talk about souls, but I'm going to use it as a decoy. Mm-hmm. How can you tell sometimes when it's a soul that really is, they kind of feel funny and be happy in a way, and they feel whatever.
Always remember this. It takes a decoy to draw a live duck. Hunters use decoys. You can't eat it. You can't boil it. You can't do anything with it, but just deal with it. That's what it is. But if you discard the decoy, then it has nothing to draw the live. So you never know what influence they have to draw somebody in that is really interested. Now, there's some that are thieves of your time. You'll spend, listen, you'll find that there's one or two that will dial your phone and tie you up and talk for days. I mean, they got the gift of ramble. I mean, if you're a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. You got to learn who they are. Amen. And just learn how to deal with that. I'm always kind and very nice. But friend, they got about three offices to get through before they get to me. Okay? That's what I'm saying.
I'd like to know how you handle all the multicultural people that don't speak good English, so, and to keep them from cloistering into their...
Well, they're going to cloister because it's like the Tower of Babel. I mean, they're going to speak their language. They're going to draw to the people they can understand. Now, we have a Spanish church. They have church at 3 o'clock Sunday evening only because that they don't understand what we're saying. They speak their language. They have to communicate. And this is a situation, but we're dealing, you keep them close to you and you love them because that is what they identify with is true love. Now, that's what's going to hold them is because you really care about them. You're going to love on them, and you're going to, you know, hey, let's go get a sandwich. Y'all, come on, let's go. We're going to go down to ever what restaurant it is. Amen. And we're going to just all eat a bowl of soup. Come on, y'all, come on. And you know, and just keep them tied to you because they got little ones that can speak English very well. And so there's a generation coming that's fixing to change the whole demographic. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm looking for a Spanish pastor right now. I mean, we've got a tremendous opportunity. It's just my God. Amen. But to find someone locked in, somebody with passion, and somebody that's really, it's got the fire of God, that has our vision to see this thing grow. But you know, you just got to identify that there are those that are sent to preoccupy you and just lock you down. But remember this, they do have influence outside that they may bring somebody else. All right? Anybody else?
I hope this is not considered a negative.
No.
Is the perception of this area of the country in other areas still one that those people up there don't want revival? Talking about the population.
No, you know... Years ago, maybe so, but the whole paradigm has shifted now. I think that people understand that men still put on their pants like they do in the South, like they do in the North, that people still eat, they breathe. I mean, they still, people need God everywhere. So the folks down there, just, they're just excited because they know revival's coming here. Now, we do know that culture has a lot to do with people's acceptance because many of them are sort of standoffish. But love tears down every barrier that I know of. And like I told you before, go to the funeral home, volunteer, and tell them if they don't have a pastor, I want to volunteer. Yeah. Because this is a time that you could get right in their lives when they're weeping and crying and they're... Listen, it's not the fact that you're looking for vulnerable, but the point is you'll be there for them. And they'll say, can you come by the house? We've got some sandwiches after the service. Well, yes, I'll come by. And then you come by and sit with them and say, I know your pain and I'm praying for you, Lord Jesus, touch them. And then you develop a relationship, and it is a starting point of relationship. And is it slow? Very. Listen, folks, winning people is the slowest thing in the world. I know when my wife was expecting our first baby, I said, how you feel today? Like I did yesterday. My God, when's this baby gonna get here? Huh? You can't rush some things. I'm gonna tell you this, when a peach gets ripe, it'll fall. But if it's green, get out. Hey, some people you can shake, you can kick, you can preach, you can turn backflips, but they're not ripe yet. They're not ripe yet. Back off. Preach. Love them. Care about them. Because they'll walk in one day when you don't even think it could be on a Wednesday night. And you preach like you dropped a watermelon, all the seeds right here in the front. And they'll go, ah! You're going, really? Really? Anybody's ever seen that? Just when you didn't think, that's when it happened. You just...
We know that people here are absolutely hungry.
Oh my God.
I'm talking about the perception.
Oh no. The perception.
Because we're trying, we're raising up our own men.
Yeah.
However, we can't do it alone.
No.
We need men coming in from the outside.
Right.
And we need some help from those who've been up here, who see what is potentially up here.
Yes.
We put ads into the Herald. You know, we've done various things. But people need to know that it's happening here. And if God's moving upon them, they should not be afraid to come.
Right.
Because it is here.
Yeah.
We need people like you helping us.
I'm preaching some camp meetings, and I'm going to talk to these preachers. And I'm going to tell them the ripest area that I know is the Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, right up here on the East Coast, is ready for Holy Ghost revival. It's ripe and it's ready. And if a man's got a young man out of Bible school that's got a fire and a passion, he needs to pack up, load up, and get ready to go up. Amen. Praise God. And start revival right here. Hallelujah. Amen. If we could find some young men, if we could find some young couples or whatever, they might have to come in light for a little while. Amen. To where they get their bearings, to where the need is. Amen. Like you're wanting to target an area over here. If you get a good Holy Ghost man that's trustworthy, that's come through, that has the backing of his home church, his pastor, because you got to have somebody. Everybody leaves tracks. Everybody leaves. You got to have somebody. You know who they are, know what they stand for. They've got the ethics that they need. Amen. And that's a very important thing. Someone with ethics that will, amen, will stand behind you. Amen. Not with a knife, but stand behind you and pat you on the back. Praise God. Amen. So that's very important. But I will be pushing. I will be preaching. I will be talking. Amen. Praise God. About what the need is in this area. Because my God, the need is so great here. Woo! Just raise your hands and pray God would send men. Just pray God would send men. Send men and women to this area. Send harvesters into this area. God, I pray. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. Oh, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me, send me, send me in Jesus' name. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Well, amen. The need is so great. I feel it. It's here. Amen. Any more questions for anyone? We'd be thrilled. I'm just honored to be with you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, what would you say would be key principles or priorities that you learn when a new person comes to get them aggressively engaged and assimilated into the church?
First of all, you have to love them. You know, they can't believe in your God till they first believe in you. You got to sell people on you because you're the only Bible that they know. They don't know anything about the Word of God. Many of them, you know, it's like the little boy, the parents having trouble with the little boy. I mean, they couldn't handle him, so they brought him to the preacher. And the preacher told him, said, you know, just looked at him and said, where's God? Where's God? Where's God in your life? Where's God in your life? The little boy bolted out of here. He ran. He ran to his little brother and said, my God, God's missing and they think we got him. My God. You know, this, you know, just, they, you know, you listen, you first got to win people to you. You first got to build that bridge of communication. Go out. You've got to have some type of communication with them to become friends with them. Now, the pastor can't be friends with everybody. After a while, you'll run out of soap. You just can't be. You can't go out ever. After I preach on Sunday nights now, I used to pick out families and new people and go out and eat with them and really impart to them. But now I go home and eat a bowl of soup. I got two boys. I got a lot of people I can send, and they're designated. My assistants are designated to go out and try to build that bridge. Then I want to get them in a Bible study. Nobody can be a member of Parkway until they go through a new life class. Nobody. Now, and a new church is a whole new ball game. Do you have a new life class? Man, I ain't got no new. I ain't got an old life class. You know, I've got to try to get somebody first. Well, as you establish yourself, try to set some governmental principles in the church to where, okay, all right, you've got someone you can depend on or yourself, and we just have, because everybody that moves in or comes in is not on the same wavelength. They don't believe the Holy Ghost is essential. Well, you can't put them teaching Sunday school. They don't believe the Holy Ghost is essential. You got to at least put the doctrine in them and teach them some principles of holy living, separation from the world. You got, you know, that, and you don't do it in a bad way. Like I told you, I like chicken in my mouth, not my ear. You can present it in a good way to where people will accept. And if they're truly called of God, they'll stay with you. But it takes time to do these things. There's time to do these things. When I first started Partway, my wife and my youngest son, they would take the little kids back in the back, and they would enact Bible stories. They would bring all kinds of costumes and stuff, and they would have David and Goliath, and they'd have Joseph in the dungeon and all kinds of stuff. But that was all it was. That's all we had. Didn't have anything else to do. Didn't have any people. Started with seven there. And so I know a little bit about how home missions and how nobody there works. So you just got to preach like they are there. So, you have to build that bridge and then develop. You know, you can teach a Bible study without opening a chart. You don't have to go through a whole litany of 1 hour of exploring God's word. Now, if they are open, and you mentioned Bible study. Oh, I'd love to have that. Then the door's open. But many times that won't happen. You got to slowly inject, you know, man, the Lord is really touching our church. I mean, man, it's awesome what God's doing. You know, I won't ever forget, I was out hunting one day. Pulled up to a store. It's about dinner time, about like now. And man, I'd been up early. I hadn't had one bite. Star. There's a guy sitting on a RC case, on a Coca-Cola case, leaning against the bed, eating tomato sardines, a piece of onion, and crackers. And he had crumbs, and the juice was dripping. And I drove up, and I looked at him. And I'm going, man, look, saliva running. I'm going, my God. I walked in, I said, what's that man eating? He said, tomato sardines. He's got one of those onions and got some crap. I said, whatever he's got, get it. I got me a pop case and got right next to it. And sat there and I started eating. Was it as good? It wasn't as good as it looked. But what I'm trying to say is you can create the saliva running and make them palatate and want what you got. Okay, you can make them want what you got. And they'll buy in it because you're sold. It's like, you know, who's a Huckleberry Finn? Tom Sawyer Huckleberry Finn? He's painting the fence, having a good time. He wasn't having a good time. He just made like he was having a good time so he gets some help. Amen. So whatever you're doing, act like you're having fun anyway. Get them involved in the kingdom. Pull them in. You know, on an airplane, the thing that makes it go up and down is called an attitude. Did you know that? There's one device that makes a plane go up and down. It's called an attitude. What happens in planes happens in people. Your attitude makes you go up or causes you to crash. So maintain your attitude. I'm climbing up higher. I'm causing this church to rise in a new level of expectancy. Praise God. So if you do that, you will see revival. Love people. Just love people. Wherever you go, just love people. Even a dog likes a pet on the head. Even a dog wants to be petted. Old Otis likes to be petted. Huh? I mean, hey, you got to love humanity. Just love them for who they are, where they are. Amen. And tell them, you know what? God's going to do great things. He's standing there, just smoke the joint. Going, yeah? Really now? Yeah, God's fixing to do great things in your life. My God, listen, the Holy Ghost can make you a preacher. Yeah. I feel like preaching right now. That joker drunker and Cooter Brown. But just look at them at where they're going and not where they are. Anybody else?
I can relate to a lot of things you say because of my age.
Yeah.
And as you know, I have a daughter in Arkansas.
Right.
And I'm from Canada.
Yeah.
I'm here on a work permit.
Right.
I've been here 15 years. And I have a question in reference to Antigonish, Nova Scotia. I come from Brother Woodward's church.
Uh huh.
And
good friend. Good friend. Good friend.
In reference to what you're doing with your 100-and-some people yearly, do you have any Canadians?
I had six. There was six or seven families from Canada. Brother Woodward and the Canadian district pays for all their airfare. That just started. That is a tremendous help, folks. And Brother Woodward starts Revive with us April 3rd. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But he has bought into Apostolic Conference because he told me, he said, I see this as the answer to strengthen home, strengthen here. Because when we strengthen here, they're coming. Amen. You strengthen enough of it. Amen. In these areas, there's new people coming with burdens to preach the gospel at home. And so these young preachers will be coming out. So, you know, this is powerful.
Was one of those Brother McKenzie from Halifax, Nova Scotia?
It may have been. We did have one from Nova Scotia. I'd have to check the records, but now we did have from six different provinces of Canada. They were there.
The reason I asked that, my family lives in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. It's a predominantly Catholic town. And I've been praying for them.
Yeah.
I believe that God will raise up a church. They have tried it several times unsuccessfully. And do you know a Brother McKenzie from Halifax?
I think I met him.
And I have a brother that works with him. I can't recall his name. He lives 38 miles from Antigonish. And I'm hearing that he has a desire to go to Antigonish.
Yes.
And I'm just praying for that, and if you would pray for that,
yes.
I would appreciate it.
Yes.
I'd like to see a church in Antigonish.
Right.
Nova Scotia.
Thank you, God. Let it happen in Jesus' name. Where two or three agree is touching. And in one thing it shall be done. Let it happen. Let the call of God that's without repentance come and send someone with a burden to that area to dig a church out, Lord, to work. To work while it's day. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, for the night comes for no man to work. In Jesus' name. Anyone else?
I was just wondering, on a personal note, is this your first time in New England?
I'm trying to think. I think I preached in the Boston area way many, some years ago. It's been a lot of years since I've been up here.
Well, my pastor's right there, but we'd sure like to have you come back, and, you know, it'd be awesome if you could drive to the North Country, which is, we pastor in northern Massachusetts, right near the border. And then there's Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then you can get a feel of what New England is. It's a pockets of little towns.
Yes.
So it's not like maybe in the South where everything's spread out and flat and you can see one town from one, no. You know. And I think that's where the difficulty is, because it's little. And we need at least 123 couples to come out to all the pocket little towns. Mm-hmm. And then they have like 10,000, 20,000. Our town is 103,000.
Wow.
But we're from San Jose, California, Papa Shoemake, four Shoemakes.
Yes.
And so a million people here and there.
Right.
But we have a burden for this area. And everybody who comes to our conferences, like the brother last year, we like to challenge them to come and really see and feel so you can understand the challenge. But we are in revival. Revival's not coming. We are in revival.
That's right.
We are having...
You know, I told the Lord, I don't know how, but God has been... I know this sounds crazy. It sounds way off the chart. But God's been waking me up at night. $62,700,000. This has come to my mind. If it's come one time, it's come 100,000 times. And the Lord said, I'm fixing to open finances unprecedented. And I told God, if you open finances unprecedented, I will go to areas just like this. And I will go to these areas and buy properties. It will be under a 501c3 corporation that be handled by the district, but will be owned by the corporation to make sure that nobody come in that will sell the property. But buy it, put a building up, pay a preacher. I'm talking, bring young couples in, pay them a salary to start a church in the unchurched areas and give them 1 year free. Then evaluate from that time on. Let there be an evaluation of growth to see what God has done in those areas. If that would happen, ladies and gentlemen, it would be, you know, to invest $4, $5, $6 million into an area to be able to buy strategic property, to come here and just tell the guy that owns this, I'm fixing to buy that. It's not for sale. So you forgot. I'm fixing to buy this and just offer him a price and say, everything's for sale. How much? And you own this place. And then to see what it would take to knock out that wall and to expand and to see, to turn this in. You know, just different areas where it be a strategic growth or maybe move out to a highway, go to these places and have the funds unlimited. What would that mean? What would that mean to this area right here? To bring in couples from across America. Amen. To just see. And I promise God, if you let this happen, I will invest in areas that need revival. I will take this home missions board. I'll take superintendents. I'll take men, amen, who are accountable and start a 501c3 in that area under the corporation to where that it would work, to where that thing would be done. Amen. Strategically right. And that, if you promise men out of Bible school, I'm talking about men that's really got the fire, and bring them in here and promise them full support that I'm paying you. If I'm giving you $1,000 a week to come in here, amen, to preach, to win souls, but I'm fixing to do an evaluation because the superintendent and this missions board is going to check how many Bible studies you got. Hello, somebody. Amen. How many would shout about that? Huh? How many thank God for that? Don't tell me it can't happen. Don't tell me God can't do it. Woo, he owns a cattle of 1,000 hills and all the taters under the hills, so just get ready for it. No telling what God will do. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Amen.
You do that and we'll feed you some serious lobster that'll knock your socks off.
I'm ready to write a check right now. Praise God. What are you talking about? Hallelujah. When I preached Maine's camp meeting, and I told him, I said, I'll come under one condition, all the lobster I can eat. And the lobster fishermen brought them in, and they cooked it in seaweed. Believe it or not, I'm going, you got to be joking. Amen. But they did. But that grown butter you put on it, after the fourth one, I said, I think I've had enough. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, sis.
I'm curious, having heard, I just made a side comment to my husband. I'd love to see your facility because it sounds like you have so many pokers in the fire. It's wonderful. Has your church ever participated in any interdenominational events? And do you have anything that you participate with other neighboring pastors that may not be apostolic? Mm-hmm. And what kind of...
I'm a member of the Ministerial Association. Last Tuesday, they had the prayer group at our church. There were several pastors there, Methodist, Baptist. The mayor was there. Her administrators were there. I participate in, and you've got to be a part of the community. You can't isolate yourself. This is our problem. People want to isolate themselves and say, well, I'm defending truth. I don't want them bunch of reprobates. Let me tell you something. We were reprobates at one time. All of us were. So you've got to be in their lives if you're going to draw them to God. Yeah. Will you reach them all? No, you're not going to reach them all. But hey, at least you show the love of God. The love of God reaches for everybody, doesn't it? It's supposed to. So we become involved. Yes, I'm a part of the Ministerial Alliance. Matter of fact, when the mayor called me this last week, past Sunday night, and she said, would you pray for a political event? Well, I didn't necessarily endorse a candidate, but there were over 10,000 people came to that political event. She said, would you pray for it? I said, that's what I do. Beagles run rabbits. Bird dogs point birds. And preachers pray. Hello, somebody. Dear God, a preacher won't pray for an event. I don't care. I don't care if it's Hitler himself. I don't care what their name is. I'm going to pray. Could I tell you that 10,000, there was 3,500 in the gym, over 7,000 in the football stadium with big screens. I just, that morning, 6 o'clock prayer, I just said, God, give me words to speak. And when I tell you, when I walked that podium, I prayed, Holy Ghost, power of God to sweep across America and ignite faith in the hearts of God's people to get back to the foundational principles that made us what we are, that raise up men, amen, that's not ashamed of the enemies that's trying to encroach upon our land to destroy our families and our future. Oh, God, in our faith. And I'm here to tell you, when I got through, the Holy Ghost fell. I had 5 men in the church standing out there, said people going, God, what is that I feel? What's that I feel? What's that I feel? When I stepped off the podium, they reached me and said, pray for me. My God, what's this I feel? I'm talking people with tears in their eyes. At a political rally? Holy Ghost fall? God's not limited to some stupid idea you think you got that he can't move somewhere. He can move anywhere. If you go to hell, he said, I'm there. What are you talking about? But we want to isolate ourselves like the disciples. I ain't fooling them Samaritans. I got to defend truth. You don't need defending. Who you think you are? You rose up in this day. You going to defend what? You need to love people and let truth be truth. Amen. And God will stand on his own 2 feet. Hey, she cut to Messiah. Hallelujah. So get involved with everything you can get involved in. That don't mean you compromise. I went to a deer camp and they were drinking Jack Daniel's whiskey. They said, preacher, you hear us. That don't mean I'm going to drink it. Bless God. Hey, I'm on your turf. You do what you do on your turf, but you come to mine. Bless God. I'm going to preach the hide off you. What's the matter with us? You can't isolate yourself. Get involved in your community. Get right in. Hey, you get when there's an event, you be right in the mayor's face. And I'm here to pray. Our mayor got the Holy Ghost in my office, talked in tongues like a Chinese laundry. She called me the next day. She said, Brother Dillon, my phone is melted off the wall. She said, people called and said, my God, what in the world happened? It was more like a revival service than was a political event. My God, that prayer shook the whole place. Yeah. I didn't do that. I'm not looking to do a selfie of me. Uh-huh. It was him that did that. Yeah. But what I'm telling you, God will give you favor, but you got to get in the mix. You got to get out there where they are. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be like this. I'm sorry for being so. I can't help myself. Amen. It's eating me up. I just want people to understand that this was not done in a corner, and it's not going to stay in the corner. If you don't, God will raise up somebody that will get it out of the corner and get it out on the mainstream. God bless. Any other questions? Any other questions? My God, I thought I heard a growl. As a stomach, by the way. All right. Anybody else? Thank God. Thank you so much. I've certainly enjoyed this. It's been a breath of fresh air. I hope to you as much as it's been to me, because I do love you and I do appreciate the hard work that's going on in this area. And I know there's been a lot of plowing, a lot of planning, and God's fixing to give the increase, and God sees your tears and hears your heart. Amen. You can't cry all the time. I've been there and done that. Sometimes there's no more tears left to cry. But in your heart of hearts is a yearning. And I feel that yearning, brother. I feel it. I feel it yearning. Say, God, you're gonna send some harvesters to this area. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah to God. He katabasai.